Welcome to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC Podcast. Today, you'll hear Associate Pastor for Small Groups and Young Adults, Ann Gallagher, and Administrative Assistant for Faith Formation and Small Group Ministry, Leanne Daly. They will be discussing the second question in our 8-week summer podcast series titled Hard Questions, Faithful Responses. What is sin? Ann and Leanne tackle the question.
Leanne, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad that you're here today. Thanks for taking some time to come and chat with me about just a really light and fun topic like sin.
Right. Hey, Ann. Thanks for having me.
We are delighted to have you, Leanne. Friends, we have invited Leanne to come and be a conversation partner in this podcast because we know that not everybody who calls our church home was raised Presbyterian. And we also know that sin specifically can take on some kind of cultural connotations for those of us who are raised in the South, and it is a complicated and sometimes confusing word. So we thought it might be helpful to have a conversation between two people, like Leanne and myself, who are raised in different Christian backgrounds to give us a sense of kind of where folks are coming from in their understanding of sin. So, Leanne, I would love to ask you to share just a little bit about your religious upbringing, and then maybe tell us a little bit about how you learned about sin when you were growing up. What did you hear about sin in your church?
I was born into a family that went to a Southern Baptist church. We were in church an awful lot, often 2 or 3 times on Sunday, Wednesday nights, sometimes another night of the week to go knocking on doors, and then back again on Sunday, unless there was something special that happened between Wednesday and Sunday, and then you'd be there for that too.
So y'all were wearing out the pews.
We were wearing them out. And it was just ingrained. I want to say that from out of the gate, you were taught that, you know, we were all born sinful, mm-hmm. and that you had not that you had to get rid of sin, but that, you know, you were just automatically a sinful person by birth, mm-hmm. and that you had to come to know Jesus to get rid of that sin. Mm-hmm. And then it was somewhat your responsibility to make sure everyone around you did the same, that they too knew about Jesus, so that they too would go to heaven. Mm-hmm. And almost like their sin was even your responsibility.
Oh, interesting. And so then when you were in worship, did you talk about sin? Was there a time that you all confessed sin together? What did that look like?
Different times, I would say, had different experiences. Maybe the regular week to week, we would not so much have people come forward and profess their sin to the whole group. But if there were, say, a revival that took place for every night of the week for a week, then you could have a time where the evangelist that came to speak would request that people come and bear their souls in front of everyone.
And that would be as an individual?
As an individual.
Okay.
But you come up and you tell all the people what you've done or ask for forgiveness from people. I would say we were always encouraged to maybe go to someone that we had wronged and ask for forgiveness from mm-hmm. them
kinda
for that
amends.
Sin. Maybe not always in a public setting, but those times did happen, yes.
Okay.
What was it, you know, how did you get taught about sin? What was it for you in the Presbyterian church?
Yeah, I would say I took it for granted. I thought that everybody who went to church did a worship service where there was a time that everyone confessed together, like reading the words that are printed in the bulletin. I thought that everybody had the call to confession and then a prayer of confession that everyone said together, and then the reminder of God's grace, or sometimes we call it the assurance of pardon. And as I've gotten older and learned more about the Presbyterian Church and kind of Reformed theology, which is kind of the theological family that we find ourselves in, I've come to learn that that is a little more distinctive to Presbyterianism Yes. than I realized. And so my understanding of sin has evolved as I've gotten to hear from different voices, different people, and the ways that they describe it. And I wanted to share a couple definitions that I think are really helpful.
Okay.
So the first one comes from Serene Jones, who is a theologian, and she's the president at Union Theological Seminary in New York. So she says that sin is whatever opposes God's will for our flourishing, whatever gets in the way of what God originally created us to be, people living together in right and proper relationships. And I really like that definition because I feel like it's very expansive. One of the things that was confusing to me about sin is kind of wrapping our arms around the definition, like what is it, especially what is it in 2024? Like, we have what is written in the Bible, and sometimes that can be kind of hard to understand or to apply to our everyday lives. And the other definition I wanted to share is from Francis Spufford in a book called Unapologetic. And this one's a little irreverent and kind of funny, but I actually think it really says something profound. And he says that sin is the human propensity to mess things up. And I will say he did not technically use the word mess, and you can use your imagination to insert the word that perhaps he used that had a little more oomph behind it than I am willing to add to this podcast. But this human propensity to mess things up. So it's getting at this idea that there is something about us as humans that is drawn towards choosing the wrong thing sometimes, that there are things in the world and in ourselves that are broken and that we wish that we could change, and kind of gives voice to this sense in which things are not as they should be. Our understanding of sin as Christians is kind of sandwiched in between the grace of Jesus and the love of God. So we know based on the Genesis creation accounts that God created us and called us good. God's creation is very good. And when God created us, God created something good. So sin is not to say that we're just, you know, completely incapable of any good as humans, but that there is a sense in which we were created innately good, and we have chosen as humans the wrong thing sometimes, that we've chosen violence or injustice, and that those choices have consequences for our world. I really like Karl Barth, who is a theologian who is really influential in kind of Reformed thinking. And he says that we can only understand sin through Jesus's work of reconciliation. And so for Barth, we don't talk about sin until we talk about Jesus. And I would say that I align myself with Mr. Carl over there, because we don't talk about sin in a way that's hopeless, that's saying like, oh, well, humanity chooses badly, we make bad decisions. We hold that up right beside the idea that God loves us too much to leave us in that place. And so in Jesus bridges that gap so that we're not separate from God anymore.
I think my growing up did kind of leave that where you know, the gloom and doom, if you will. So in your opinion, what is the difference between, you know, the capital S sin and the lowercase sins?
I love this question because I think it's really helpful. So if we're thinking about capital S sin, this kind of emphasizes the condition of our hearts as humans and the brokenness of our world. So we could think about this based on that definition that we're borrowing from Francis Spufford, that idea of the human propensity to mess things up. This also, we can think about it in a sense of kind of corporate versus individual. So capital S sin refers to kind of institutional and systemic sin, which can play out in injustice or brokenness on this kind of like wider level. So in contrast, sins with a little lowercase s has more of an emphasis on our actions. That's more of the like individual piece that you were kind of talking about, Leanne, that might have been more at the forefront in the way that you were learning about sin growing up. Mm-hmm. So there is a scriptural basis certainly for sin. You know, we can think about things in the Ten Commandments like thou shalt not murder. Pretty clear, simple. But there are also things that we do that separate us from God as individuals that might be sort of based on the individual person. And so something that creates distance in my relationship with God might be a little bit different than yours. And so there's a little more space to kind of hold all of those things. When we're in worship, we often confess the things that we have done and the things that we have not done. And so we're recognizing that sort of zooming out, that sin doesn't just affect our kind of like individual lives, but that it has consequences for the world around us. Yeah. And so we would classify all the kind of isms like sexism or racism or ableism. All of those are examples of this sort of systemic sin that plagues our world today.
I don't think that as a whole, we really even thought outside of ourselves about sins that would affect the greater world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's just definitely not something that was really talked about in my upbringing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a common experience for a lot of people, that there's an emphasis on the individual sin, like your particular actions.
Right.
And it's not that we want to ignore that, because there is, you know, we desire to be like righteous before God. But we also, the tendency might be, if we're focused so acutely on ourselves, that can be kind of like guilt inducing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that your
Southern
experience?
Baptists are real good at laying on the guilt, honey. Real good.
And so when we're thinking about sin, kind of holding both, that there's a balance between the way that we're living our lives, the choices that we're making, and we want to confess together these things which we have left undone, the ways that we haven't pursued justice and righteousness for all of God's people. Right. All of those are the things that we're thinking about, especially in worship when we're confessing our sin together.
Yeah, and that, I would say, coming from the Southern Baptist upbringing, when I came to work at the Presbyterian Church, I was stunned at how different we do things, mm-hmm. because I think in my mind, not knowing, I thought, oh, we're all Christians. I'm sure we do most things the same. Mm-hmm. But then learning about the prayer of confession and things of that nature, I was like, oh, wow, this is really different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we've been forgiven of our sins, why do we still talk about them?
I love this question. So first I want to say that I think sin is a really loaded word, and that there could be a temptation to just sort of toss it out and to say, like, we are beyond this as people, that it's holding us back, or that it's purely guilt inducing. But I am not ready to get rid of that term, because I think it's actually really helpful and really hopeful. So for some people, it's important to recognize that sort of sin as a concept or a construct has been used in ways that have been harmful to them.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, sin is associated with a list of particular behaviors that have been deemed inappropriate, often by kind of the people who are in power.
Yeah.
And so it's important to recognize that that has been harmful to people in different times and places. But for me, talking about sin is the only way that I have found that is broad enough and big enough and satisfying enough to make sense of the world that we live in, where we do see this human propensity to mess things up and to hurt one another, and to see systems that perpetuate violence against people. And so Presbyterians takes sin really seriously because we take grace very seriously. And so to know the depth of humanity's sinfulness is also to know the depth of God's grace that's extended to us in Jesus. So it's kind of like we can't have a full understanding of just the absolute breadth and depth of God's grace for us if we don't also have an understanding of the sin that God has addressed through the person and life and death and resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
And so, again, sin can have kind of connotations of guilt or make us feel a little uncomfortable. But I think that if we can kind of expand it and frame it in a way that's useful to us, it really can help us make sense of the world and our lives. Leanne, I love that you pointed out the distinctiveness of the ways that we were raised and how coming to the Presbyterian Church made you realize, in the same way that I did, that not everyone does things the same way as the one that you kind of take for granted because of the way that you grew up. Yes. And I think something that I have learned in this conversation is that maybe we both have something to borrow from one another, that our backgrounds can borrow something from one another. And so for me, what I would borrow from you and your understanding of sin is that there is a sense in which your personal actions do matter, that, you know, we want to be living lives that are reflective of following Jesus, and that requires us to be honest about the ways that we're falling short. So is there anything from kind of what I've described about the Presbyterian tradition that you might want to borrow?
Absolutely. I would say that I could certainly borrow the examination of the systemic sin that happens around us in the bigger picture every day. You know, racism, sexism, just like you said, all the isms that I don't think we were really taught to take a look at, and how important those things are in the bigger picture of the community around us. I almost feel like we focus too much on ourselves and not enough on, you know, what are you doing to make a difference in the community around you and the people around you.
What do you think was the impact of that emphasis on really focusing on your actions? How did that impact your faith, or how did that make you feel when you were growing up?
I think we were just made to feel in a lot of ways that we were constantly in a battle with our evil side of ourselves, that, you know, we were always sinning. We were always needing to work against whatever it was drawing us to do something wrong, and that there were just so many little things that we would do on a regular basis that were wrong, and that we, you know, just very guilt laden, constantly being made to feel guilty about every little thing, even about how often you were in the building. And I feel a total different sense about that with the Presbyterian Church. Just no guilt on things of that nature, and no one around you trying to lay a guilt trip on you for, oh, I didn't see you at this, or I didn't see you at that, and more of, you know, being glad that you're here when you are here, and just a whole different take at the guilt, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, I would say one of the things I appreciate about the way that we think about sin, or kind of that, what you were talking about, the kind of battle of like choosing the wrong thing. I think as Presbyterians, we're like really quick to say that grace is the first word that is spoken over us by God, and that, you know, any sense of guilt, you know, we can have accountability for our actions. We can take ownership over the things that we do that cause harm to other people. And instead of having guilt that's laying on our shoulders, in the best case scenario, we're able to focus so deeply on God's grace that we see through Jesus, and that is really the first word that we're thinking about. We can't understand sin without understanding grace.
So important.
Mm. So I'm curious, Leanne, how have your ideas or understandings about sin changed as you have gone to different churches and even moved to a different part of the country in some ways from where you grew up in Savannah, coming here to Raleigh? What are you thinking about these days when it comes to sin and grace and all of those things?
I think as I got older and stepped away from the Southern Baptist Church, one of the things that has impacted me the most is that I no longer feel like everyone else's salvation is on my shoulders. Mm. I think for so long I was taught that, you know, if you don't go door to door, if you don't tell your friends, then it's all on you whether or not they make it to heaven. And I think as I grew older and understood things more intimately, I realized it's about their relationship with God. It is not on my shoulders as an individual.
Mm.
And that, you know, God's grace does cover all of us, and he can reach someone in a way that has absolutely nothing to do with me.
Mm.
And so I don't have to wear that heavy yoke around my neck of feeling like other people's salvation and other people's sin is my problem.
Yes. Well, that's beautiful and so important, because I think a lot of people have that experience. And again, you're kind of pointing out what is distinctive about our Reformed faith, which is that it is God's initiative to forgive. It's God's initiative to extend grace. The focus is so much more on kind of God extending God's hand towards us than it is us reaching the hand back. Like if we were going to have an image, it would be completely like God coming towards us. And there is a sense in which that gives us some relief and kind of some freedom, and that, you know, God is God and we are not God. That is both a gift and a call to participate in God's world in whatever ways we are called to in our own, you know, individual lives, where we are gifted in certain ways and also challenged in certain ways, but that nothing relies entirely on our shoulders.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Leanne, for sharing a little bit about the ways that you have understood sin growing up and how you're continuing to think about those things now. And I hope that this conversation encourages folks to ask themselves kind of what they have learned about sin, what they have picked up and learned just kind of swimming in the water, living in the South or wherever it is that we've grown up. And to examine, does that definition still work for you anymore? Does it still feel reflective of the God that you know in Jesus? And to have just some courage and some openness to be able to think maybe a little more broadly or a little bit differently about sin. Mm. So thanks again, Leanne.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whitememorial.org to hear Parish Associate Jim Ferry and Pastoral Resident Lee Hunter respond to the question, "Does God answer our prayer?"